Welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And that was Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive, or about 20 seconds of it.
Approximately, yeah.
Not our usual intro tune. So those of you who are like, whoa, I was expecting a tiny segment of Diamond Rings before the show today, I am sorry. But the reason why I played this clip of Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive is because Gloria Gaynor herself posted a clip on Instagram washing her hands to that exact same clip of music. Mm-hmm. So really, you know, everybody knows you're supposed to wash your hands for 20 seconds. That's happy birthday twice, or one chorus line of I Will Survive.
As a little heads up, most of our news today really boils down to one of two things, one being conversion therapy, mm-hmm. and the other is that everything is being canceled.
You know, actually, there's one story which combines the two in the United States.
We'll get to that.
We're going to get to that. Yeah. Okay. So,
don't want to spoil anything.
Spoilers.
Got to keep the tension up for the second act.
Absolutely. Now, throughout the show today, we have a couple of songs, but we also have a couple of clips. There was a great article on, I think it was New Now This. I forget the name of the article. Give me just a second. I'll find it now.
Generic Internet News Agency number 5.
No, it wasn't that bad. But yeah, no, there was a news article that really was playing off of Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive clip. And they're like, you know, everybody knows about your New Now Next. Sorry, that was who published it. And it was a series of songs that everybody seems to know. And then instead of singing Happy Birthday twice, why not sing a verse of Jolene or I Will Survive?
Yeah, so the birthday song. Like, famously,
I know, it's dreadful.
I had a birthday party a few years ago where I told everybody that I did not want to hear that stupid song. I would rather not have a birthday party than have that song sung at me. And if people insist on singing something, then they can sing the first chorus of Total Eclipse of the Heart. And two people actually did bring out a cake with candles on it singing Total Eclipse of the Heart. But I can't remember who it was, but I was very happy on that day.
I like that.
Yeah.
Like that. And I'd rather pay royalties to Bonnie Tyler than... Well, we'll be playing some more clips of great songs, and one clip of a not remotely great song, which is The Cheeky Girls.
Oh, yes.
We'll get to that in just a little bit.
And actually, also on the news of 20 seconds, since we're here before I move on, an internet nerd noticed that it takes approximately 20 seconds to recite The Litany Against Fear from Frank Herbert's Dune.
Okay.
Yeah, which is, I must not fear, fear is the mind killer, fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear, I will permit it to pass over me and through me, and when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye and see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing, only I will remain. Which is something that the sort of meditative nuns of the Bene Gesserit would use to calm themselves down.
Okay.
In December, when Dune comes out, you'll thank me. You'll be like, oh, I heard that poem before. But yeah, if you do the litany, and it's kind of a joke, but like Litany Against Fear, washing your hands so you don't.
So I'm going to just drop another clip in. This is Team Rocket from Pokemon.
Oh my God.
And that intro also takes about 20 seconds.
Prepare for trouble.
Make it double.
To protect the world from devastation.
To unite all peoples within our nation.
To denounce the evils of truth and love.
To extend our reach to the stars above.
Jesse!
James!
Team Rocket, blast off at the speed of light!
Surrender now or prepare to fight!
Meow, that's right!
So all of this, meow, all of this is to say, you know, we're taking it very serious. Of course, gotta be jovial, gotta keep your spirits up. Not your temperature, just your spirits.
Well, yeah.
Actually, there was a sauna in the States, gay sauna. You know how gay men love their communal baths.
Oh, man.
It is the only way to bath as a homosexual.
Oh, man.
Is with at least 20 other men. So that's it. It is required. It's actually on the gay card entry exam.
And also, voyeurism is considered a form of participation as well. So
yeah, you could just be there.
You don't need to jump in the pool.
No, 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 or the steam room. Anyway, but there is a gay sauna in the States that is now checking people's temperatures and asking questions like, have you recently traveled to Iran? Did you vacay in Italy? Before they let them in.
Yeah.
So really the idea is that you get hot and bothered in the sauna, not on the way in.
Uh-huh.
So it's just about reducing exposure to COVID-19.
This is actually something that I worry about a little bit, because our people, the gay men, are pretty bad at making self-care decisions.
Actually, I was wrong. It was Sydney. It's 357 Sydney City Stream. So it's Australia, not the States.
So I have a friend in Montreal. I think I've mentioned him on the show a few times. And he's terrified that he's just going to have to entirely replace his friend group. Not because they've done something horrible to him, but because these are big city gays.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird. It's an uncomfortable truth that we as sort of soft activists should probably take more seriously at, you know, checking the message. But it's a true fact that there's a lot of promiscuity in the gay community.
There is, yeah.
And
yeah.
Disease avoidance is not something that we're very good at.
It's not where it should have been.
Yeah.
You know, actually, a friend of mine sent me a meme. And it was like some people going like, oh my God, there's a deadly contagious disease and the government's not doing anything. How could this ever happen? And the gays are all like, because, you know, AIDS happened.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, and it's, which kind of brings it to the point, you know, a lot of people are talking about COVID-19. And of course, our show, we're going to talk a bit about it.
Yeah.
With the LGBT lens, because
that's
really where our show is. There was a study that came out about 100 different organizations, including people like GLAAD, which is the Anti-Defamation on TV group, and a whole slew of others, came out and said, you know, look, LGBT people are even more at risk.
Yeah.
And you're probably thinking, how on earth is who you go to sleep with make you more coronavirus susceptible?
It definitely is. I mean, survival sex work is a huge part of the LGBT experience. When you look at how many street youth and how many, like, even famously about a third of street youth, homeless youth, are LGBT identified.
Mm-hmm.
And that's less true for adults, but it's still about 1 in 10 homeless adults are LGBT identified, which makes it anywhere from 2 to 5 times higher than the base population rate, depending on which stats you're willing to stand by. But it is a factor. It is a factor of multiplication larger. And survival sex, unfortunately, is a part of the experience, especially for struggling, socially isolated, impoverished people within the community. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have people who are, I mean, some of the people who employ sex workers are just busy and they just don't want to bother with meeting people and having to be friends. You know, the whole joke about you don't pay a prostitute to come, you pay them to leave and you're done. But so you've got that whole factor. Then you've got, I don't know, closeted people who are on the down low. The whole thing, like, it is unfortunately a high risk demographic for disease in general.
Yeah.
And now the COVID is actually, the coronaviruses in general, it's a whole family of them, broadly speaking, are in the moderate level of how difficult it is to catch them. It's not as hard as an STI, but, you know, it's basically wash your hands and don't cough on people and you should be fine.
Yeah.
But we are in a community that kind of defines ourselves by smearing our body fluids all over each other. So
there was a high
and that's not just a gay man promiscuity thing, like,
yeah,
there's a lot of hugging, there's a lot of kissing on the cheeks. It's a very physically intimate community for all aspects, or LGBTQ, etc. There is a lot of physical intimacy within the community.
The National LGBT Cancer Network in the States released a letter, and it was signed on by all of these organizations. But essentially, they said that tobacco use by LGBT people was 50% higher than the general population. So way more gays are puffing on a cigarette.
Yeah.
And COVID-19 is a respiratory disease.
Respiratory? Did you
Yeah,
say
it's in the lungs, yes.
Not respiratory?
That's the one. It's a respiratory disease. So they're like, yeah, no, I mean, who they go to bed with is neither here nor there. But really, it's about the fact that because of various different,
Yeah.
you know, elements for various different reasons, LGBT people seem to smoke more,
Yeah.
and that is giving them the sort of comorbidities.
And there's other weird things like they have no idea why, but gay men, now when I say gay men, I mean gay men, not bisexual men, like specifically gay men, exclusively homosexual males, are in one of the highest risk groups for autoimmune disorders for some reason. Also IBS in general is very high among gay men, less high among bisexual men, but bisexual men and bisexual women and lesbians are very high on other rates. It's really peculiar that the comorbidity health issues with the demographics. And before you make jokes about IBS, IBS is in the duodenum. That's at the opposite end of the intestines of where the butt stuff happens. So
oh,
it's
I
got
see.
Nothing to do with that.
You made that joke last week. It got cut in the edit, so I can tell you that
it's
much.
At the other end of the pipes. But yeah, even beyond that, if you're on HIV, HIV medication actually makes you slightly immunocompromised.
Well, you know, you say that, but they have flooded, there's been one or two cases, of isolated cases, where they have flooded people with COVID-19 with HIV medication. And this was a story about a month ago where they were worried that it may cause a shortage of HIV meds in China if it was proven to be effective. They don't have a cure. They don't have a vaccine for COVID-19 right now. Despite what Trump says, it's not coming out tomorrow. And but one of the things they
late
found,
fall in the soonest, it is impossible
well, it's
to
one,
get it.
1 to 1.5 years. So one of the things that what they found was that when they flooded somebody with antiretroviral drugs, which, you know, is a sort of medley of pills to tackle HIV, that it actually also had an effect on COVID-19 and appeared to kind of obliterate the disease. So on the one hand, antiretroviral drugs for HIV seem to be working. However, if you have a low CD4 count on accounts of having HIV, you're even more susceptible. That's the comorbidities that we were talking about earlier.
And HIV meds are bad for your, I think, spleen or something. It's bad for your organ that you forgot you had. Like, it's nothing obvious like your kidneys or liver. I think it's your spleen. And it's not a strong effect, but if you take the kind of high doses that you would need to do this, to pound a virus into the dirt, you will get an effect on your body. So if you do have sensitive organs for whatever reason, like you're a recent cancer survivor or something, this kind of treatment cannot work. In general, like the whole thing, I mean, this whole flatten the curve thing really appeals to me as a sort of a biologist in recovery, because the idea that, you know, preventing people from getting the disease is really unrealistic. On a long enough time scale, we're all going to be exposed to it.
Yeah.
The idea of just, you know, everybody politely wait in line and get it in small pockets instead of everybody all at once.
Yeah.
Because everybody all at once is what's wrong with Italy. Their medical system can handle it, just not everybody
but
all at once.
I think Italy has about 4,400 ICU beds total in the entire country. So, you know, and the challenge is, you know, you're right, you know, me, both you and I, very unlikely to get any kind of severe symptoms from COVID-19 if we got it.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I have a weird history with respiratory disorders. I grew up with asthma, but ever since I was about 12, I haven't had a fever even once.
Yeah.
But 4 years, four, five, 6 years ago, I had 2 weeks of insomnia. Bearing in mind, I usually have hypersomnia, so I normally sleep excessively. Like every single time we record, I pass out both before and after we record.
Yeah. Because my conversation is so engaging.
No, I'm just always tired. So 2 weeks of insomnia to somebody who's usually always tired is, I ended up with pneumonia and I actually almost died. I had to stay awake even further because I could only breathe if I did it consciously. That was not fun. So on the one hand, like just a bit of insomnia and I'm on my butt. And on the other hand, like I can walk through a crowd of diseased people and come out the other side and be fine. It's really unpredictable.
Well, my point was, it was more about, you know, if the healthcare system is responding to people with who have COVID-19 symptoms of various levels, and then you get hit by a car, You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you get hit by a car, you're rushed to ICU.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge in Italy right now, is because everyone is trying to deal with these serious cases.
Strokes and heart attacks.
But, you know, if you, you know, stop plowing some snow and you get a heart attack, and the healthcare system's already struggling.
Yeah.
You know, standing 2 meters away, washing your hands every time you look at somebody, you know, just all of these measures and about making sure that the healthcare system is able to treat you.
Yeah.
If you get hit by a car, struck by lightning, fall over from a stroke or whatever it may be, you know, and it's about just ensuring the healthcare system is capable as a whole. Because everyone, I was listening to the radio and someone's like, oh, it's less than 2%. You know, I would take a free cruise. And it's like, no.
2% is like 1 in 50 people.
Yeah. Or if it's 20%, I think. I'm recalling from memory figures. But it's
2% of people whose symptoms are severe enough that they submit themselves to medical care.
Yeah.
But we don't know how many people
but
have
I think
mild
in
cases.
Old, in older demographics, it's much, much higher.
It's complicated. It is so early in the cycle that we're still getting details. And everything is hedged within context. So it's not just because in Italy right now they have a 7% lethality rate, mm-hmm. and that's 7% of people who get the infection and it's bad enough that they submit themselves to medical care. Somewhere in Italy there's somebody who's got like a little bit of a runny nose and they're like, well, it is spring, it's probably just allergies, and they've got it, and it's really inconsistent. It's hard to say. I mean, in the end, just take care of yourself, wash your hands. Actually, one of my classmates was joking, kind of dark humor, that we're just all gonna die, because when you think about how many times you go to the bathroom and you see somebody leave without washing their hands, like if people can't even wash their hands after coming out of a bathroom stall, the other thing, you know, there's no such thing as a 24-hour flu.
Well,
like a 24-hour flu is food poisoning because you didn't wash your hands after you went to the bathroom. There's a flu, influenza is 2 weeks. If you get flu-like symptoms for one day, it's because you took a poopy and didn't soap up your hands while
didn't
singing.
Didn't wash it for 20 seconds. Yep. Didn't sing a full chorus of I Will Survive.
Seriously, well, everyone, wash
your hands. Chinese researchers did some research between the 1st and the 14th of February, 2 weeks of research.
Okay.
And they studied stool samples of 73 people with coronavirus. And they found that in over half of the cases, the infected cells were also in the stool samples.
Mm.
And one of the things that they found was that sometimes the respiratory tests didn't identify the cells that were then in the stool samples. Mm. So apparently some of the cells took a bit longer to work their way out. You're probably thinking, wow, you know, I'm not sure how this is relevant. But for gay men, you know,
You'd be surprised.
Douching can get you so far, but it doesn't remove all cells. So really, it is best to avoid any contact where there may be a stool sample.
Mm-hmm.
People can extrapolate from that as they will.
Yes.
But generally speaking, our official recommendation right now is to avoid stool sample contamination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, additional guidance issued here
directly with your man.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Well, on a related note, do you know what a circuit party is?
Yes, it's when you dance on a motherboard.
Not quite. So circuit parties are very much in the gay experience. They've expanded a bit, so they're a lot more. I mean, they've never turned people away at the door, but now they actually actively advertise to a broader community. But circuit parties are these huge extravaganza parties that are anywhere from 8 to 16 hours long, and there's usually an after party and then an after party and then another party a few days later. That's what's called a circuit, because you go from party to party. They're usually about a week long. And the biggest ones in the world are Sydney's Mardi Gras, Miami's White Party, New York's Black Party, and Montreal's Black and Blue.
Mm-hmm.
All of them have been canceled this year.
I mean, it makes sense. Law of close proximity.
Yes. So the White Party and the Black Party have officially canceled. Black and Blue is just in Montreal, and Montreal is banning all gatherings over a certain size until further notice.
I think in New York it's 500. In a lot of countries, yeah. It's 500 or 250.
Sydney is definitely canceling everything. It looks like, if anything, if things clear up, because Black and Blue is in the fall.
Yeah.
Depending on how things go, Black and Blue might still be on. Which is a pity. I've actually been to these parties more as a tourist. As you know, I like my gin, but there does come a point where I start putting glass in my water in my glass.
Glass in your water?
Glass in my water, yeah. Water in my glass, because I don't like being too drunk.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously going to an 8-hour long party where everyone's on ecstasy.
It's all about pacing.
Yeah, well, all I mean, it's I barely enjoy that. I just really like dancing, and I am happy to go to a party.
And it's about creating this sort of euphoric state.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you dance for 8 hours straight, you're going to be high, even if you're sober. It's
yes,
just how
it's
it
just
is.
The consistent release of
so
endorphins.
I love these parties. I am a bit of a tourist. I don't like making out with total strangers at these things or doing the drags. I just go and dance. So, I mean, the idea of them shutting down actually kind of makes me sad, because where am I going to go to dance for 8 hours to thumping repetitive European music? Speaking of thumping repetitive European
actually,
music.
Before we do, this is starting to hit Pride festivals as well.
Oh, yes.
So some of the things that are that have been cancelled is Los Angeles Pride, Fort Lauderdale Pride, and Miami Beach Pride.
Okay.
All of those have been cancelled.
And New York is usually the first big one of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, and because it's just so soon. Ottawa's is in August, and Montreal is a week before that. So that's enough time between now and then that things might change. But it does look like a lot of the prides will be canceled, especially the ones that are in May, June, July. Most of them are in June.
I mean, there's some, like, I think Peterborough starts quite early. We've actually reached out to Fierté Canada Pride, the National Association, to find out what their plan is. The European Pride organization, the European Pride Organizers Association, the EPOA,
mm-hmm.
Have issued guidance to, there was supposed to be something like 1,000 prides across Europe in this summer, which is a huge, huge number. And of course, all of these are large gatherings of people. And broadly
speaking,
there's
1,000 prides in Northern Ontario alone. Like, Canada kind of, we've cornered the market.
Yeah, well, Canada has about 1,100 to 1,200 prides.
Yeah, it's nuts.
And all of them are large gatherings of people. And their recommendations are like, look, you know.
Does Tweed Pride count as a large gathering?
No,
of people?
I don't think they have one.
Oh.
But the.
I thought they had like a 50 people picnic in a park kind of an event.
I think that's Belleville.
Oh, right, yeah. Right, yeah. Oh,
now,
still, same difference.
So the guidance is, you know, look, work with your sponsors, work with your vendors, your LGBT organizations. Are there organizations that rely on volunteers that sign up during Pride?
Mm.
You know, what are they doing for Plan B?
Yeah.
And we'll touch back on that. For all of the people who find themselves in quarantine, there is a tiny silver lining.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Men, which is a purveyors of adult cinema,
yes,
a very distinct purveyor of adult cinema, has offered people a 2-week free trial, because that's about self-quarantine amount of time. So there's all kinds of companies trying to make travel bookings easier with changing fees alleviated. And in this particular occasion, Mr. Men is offering a free trial to kind of get you through that tough period if you find yourself self-isolating, as it were.
I have washed my hands so much. I need moisturizer now.
Oh, actually, I have some over here. But we'll be playing, actually, the entry, the Russian entry.
Oh, yes.
For Eurovision.
Yes.
Which apparently is satiring the guy in charge of Chechnya.
Well, the music video is. The song itself is not.
Which is famously, he purged the gays a little while ago.
Yeah.
This is Little Big, but it's not their European entry song. It
yeah,
is
no.
Go Bananas.
If you recognize the name Little Big, it's because last year they were part of a sort of a weird viral music video dance craze thing for their song Skibidi. So if you recognize the name Skibidi, and if you recognize, like you might recognize their sound because they have a very weird and distinct, it's like pop music, really good pop music, but they're also making fun of pop musicians. Mm-hmm. I love everything
about
them.
Isn't it on Dance Dance Revolution?
They do have, Skibidi is on Dance Dance, not Dance Dance Revolution, Dance, oh, the PS4 one with the sensor thing. Just Dance. That's
Just
it.
Dance.
Just
yeah.
Dance 2020 has Skibidi on it.
But we're not playing that.
We're not playing Skibidi.
We're playing
or
Go Bananas
yeah,
by
Go Bananas.
Lil Big, and we will be back just after this. That was Go Bananas by Lil Big and 20 seconds there of Cher's Turn Back Time.
Uh-huh.
So just another little chorusy clip to help you get through your 20 second hand washing as we here at Canqueer advocate for good hand sanitization.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, how's COVID-19 affecting you, Sebastian?
Well, that's good sanitation of hands, not sanitation of your good hand. Just to be clear.
Well, both hands.
Both hands.
Should be sanitized.
And done well. Yeah, no, it's very disappointing. Mostly because for the past, 5 years now? You and I have been trying to host annual Eurovision house parties involving gin and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like pulling teeth to get people to come out. This year, all of a sudden, we've exposed enough people to it that there are people calling us at
Eurovision.
Home.
We've exposed people to Eurovision.
To Eurovision.
Yes, okay.
Calling us at home, begging to not be forgotten so they can definitely come to our Eurovision party. And then this year it's flipping canceled.
Well, our party's not cancelled. Everyone will be allowed to come as long as they stand 2 meters away from each other at any given time.
And don't present fever and promise to not cough on each other.
Yeah, and they can't have travelled anywhere in the last...
Or do the vampire. You know the vampire cough? You know about that? I mean, people have been saying it for the longest time, but the nickname vampire cough has turned into...
The vampire cough?
When you cough into your...
Your shoulder. Your
elbow.
Elbows, yes.
So it looks like you're like a 1940s vampire with a cape. Yeah.
I love it. That's amazing.
The vampire cough, yeah. So we're all going to just be vampire coughing, drinking a gin, or a very cold beer, or I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, we'll make it work. Yeah,
we'll make it work. Potato salad.
Little straws underneath little respiratory masks.
But not plastic ones.
Yes.
That kills the turtles.
It does kill the turtles. So one of the things that I've been impacted by COVID-19.
Other than toilet paper
sales? Other than toilet paper sales. Oh my gosh, people. Like, why? but aside from that, in the United States, there are many large churches that have cancelled their hands-on healings. I think the Church of Latter-day Saints cancelled all of their gatherings, including Sunday service.
Oh, wow.
And as a side effect of COVID-19, the churches that in the States that offer the very damaging, almost torturous conversion therapy has had to put all of their heinous practices on hold.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, pleasant side effect, which brings us very awkwardly to our next topic, which is conversion therapy.
I mean, there is that issue that in some of the states, you can legally kidnap your own child and force them into a conversion therapy camp. And I think there's only like 5 left where that's still possible. And if I were to hazard a guess, it's probably the Carolinas. I think one of the southeastern states, like Arkansas or Alabama or something, actually just outright banned conversion therapy, to everyone's surprise, because it's in the area where you're more likely to find it. But the fact that a plague, a minor plague,
pandemic,
is the cause of this cancellation is, silver lining, I guess. It's
I'd
rather have a human rights argument for why we shouldn't do this, but I'll take it, you know.
But in Canada, Ontario, Nova Scotia, and Prince Edward Island have already banned conversion therapy, in addition to Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, and a couple of other places. The province of Manitoba has an official position on it, and actually just this week, the Yukon legislature also introduced a bill to ban conversion therapy. So it has been going sort of province by province by province. But the Justice Minister and the Minister of Diversity, the Minister of Diversity, I will get the name in just a second. I'm blanking on it now like a sieve. But yes, they have announced Bill C-8. Now, C-8 is the bill to ban conversion therapy in Canada, which is a huge deal. Badish-Chaga, sorry, I was just getting a bit of a tongue twister there, the Minister of Diversity. We reached out to Minister Badish-Chaga, and I actually had an interview scheduled with Minister Chaga this past Friday. However,
I've never seen her hair before. I mean, I've never seen her picture before, and I'm jealous of her hair.
I know, her hair is phenomenal. We had a meeting, an interview planned with Minister Chaga. However, because Ottawa has now got, I think, 3 cases, if we include the Prime Minister's wife.
5 as of this morning.
Oh, my days.
Yeah.
But, you know, as of this morning, of day of recording, so who knows when you hear this. But for an abundance of caution, that interview has been rescheduled with Minister Chaga. But really, we were asking about, initially we were going to talk about the capacity fund, but then we ended up talking about the conversion therapy bill. The conversion therapy bill makes 5 crimes in the criminal code. And I'm going to try and make sure that I get them in order. So causing a minor to undergo conversion therapy, that's somebody under the age of 16, not somebody in the coal mining industry. Very important distinction.
Minor, not minor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
and removing a minor from Canada to undergo conversion therapy abroad. So you
Oh.
can't just ship them to Utah.
Okay.
Also a new rule. Causing a person to undergo conversion therapy against their will.
Okay.
So you can't kidnap an adult woman and make them go under conversion therapy. And these are the real kickers. Because you're like, okay, child kidnapping all makes sense. Pretty good
These are
impact.
all kidnapping and restriction of freedom of
Yeah,
movement.
rights of the child.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of
Well,
these
even the
things.
adult one, that's a
But
yeah.
these next two, these are what will I think, these have been described as the most progressive laws against conversion therapy in the
Because
world.
the first three, you could have somebody argue that's just kidnapping. We already have a law against
Yeah,
that. So, I mean, I could see the first three getting maybe not necessarily shot down, but maybe like.
So, number four,
Okay, what's number four?
profiting from providing conversion therapy. So, if you make any kind of moolah from trying to convince somebody that being gay is an atrocity and they must pray it away, that's a criminal offense. And also advertising an offer to provide conversion therapy. So you can't make money from it and you can't advertise it anymore in Canada if this bill goes through.
Okay.
It also authorizes courts to seize conversion therapy advertising and force people to remove conversion therapy advertising. Now, this is seen as it was widely well received. Among the other political parties, the NDP, the New Democratic Party in Canada, have said, you know what, we haven't gone over the bill in detail. It is only 8 pages, won't take you that long. But they hadn't gone over it in detail, but they said, you know what, it's very strict, very forceful. Some of these crimes carry penalties
Yeah.
of up to 5 years in prison, max
Okay.
prison sentences. So very serious. So the NDP is like, yeah, no, this is great. The Bloc Québécois was like, it is great so long as Quebec can make its own gosh darn decisions, because, Quebec.
Quebec, yeah.
The
It's why we both love and hate them.
it's true. The Greens were like, yeah, it's all good, and even the Conservatives were like, hesitant, yes,
Yeah.
they were hedging the bets,
Well, because
but
I was
yeah.
thinking, like, what would be a loophole to this? A loophole would be if an adult goes to somebody and requests that they volunteer their time to provide them with conversion therapy. And those are very narrow circumstances. And I think if you are a grown adult and this is the choice that you are making, and somebody is willing to put in the, I don't know, whatever, 50 to a couple hundred hours to do this for you on their own time volunteering,
Well, the thing is,
then I
you
think.
can't get any benefits. And I'll read you the actual bill. Material benefit from conversion therapy. Anyone who receives a financial other material benefit, knowing that it is obtained or derived directly or indirectly from the provision of conversion therapy, is guilty of an indictable offence and liable to imprisonment of a term of not more than 2 years. So, if you've got a new car, if you got a very sizable donation to the church, all of these things could be tied into it. I did want to read out the definition that they are using for conversion therapy, because this is really the important bit. Everyone's like,
Yeah.
whoa,
Well,
freedom of religion here, where's the line?
just to finish my point though, like if you ban something outright in a very clear manner, like there's certain ways that if you ban it, you'll get counter protests just because people don't like being told what they can and can't do. Just by saying the simple act of saying you can do whatever you want, but you can't force anyone and you can't charge.
Yeah,
That
and you
is
can't advertise.
such a clean way of saying if you're a grown adult and this is what you want to do with your life, good luck finding someone who can do it. And if they are willing to do it, that's your business. But so it is that sort of nice middle, not even middle road. It satisfies the libertarian and the sort of liberty
Well,
aspect.
religious liberty groups are planning on challenging this law the minute it passes.
Yeah.
And they're going to kind of chase it down on religious liberty, constitutional arguments. Now,
Is there anything in there about being able to charge to do religious practices, though?
so th this is where this is why I wanted to read the actual definition.
Yeah.
So conversion therapy means a practice, treatment, or service designed to change a person's sexual orientation to heterosexual, or their gender identity to cisgender, or to repress or reduce non-heterosexual attraction or sexual behavior. For greater certainty, this definition does not include a
Oh.
practice or treatment or service that relates to gender transition or to a person's exploration of their identity or to its development. And really, we've talked before about if you're Christian, maybe you're an Orthodox or you have a very, very firmly held views and you're a homosexual,
Yeah.
having a conversation with your priest about how do I navigate being a homosexual is one thing. Being told by your priest, go talk to this guy, he'll tell you how to repress it,
Yeah.
very different. That's not allowed anymore. Talking to your priest and being told, go talk to this guy, he'll talk to you about how they've navigated that path, how they've been a homosexual and reconcile their faith. We are very strongly encouraging that folks of faith can still move forward, but repressing sexual orientation, repressing gender identity, it leads to such psychological damage that nearly everybody under the sun, every psychological association, psychiatry association, they've all said this is, nigh on torture. They also have a definition for forced conversion therapy. Anyone who knowingly calls a person to undergo conversion therapy against the person's will is guilty of an indictable offense. Sorry, that was actually just the crime. I thought it was a definition. But yeah, no, it is quite serious and it is very strict. And I don't know, what do you think of the wording that we've seen?
Some of it, I could still see ambiguities where people could slip through the cracks. Something where some very expensive lawyer could argue, well, they did this, but they didn't quite do this. They did this other very similar thing that's not in the law.
But I think it is very broad. I worry that its broadness is what could give religious advocates,
Exactly.
the material to fight it in court.
Yeah, it is. It's just a little too open. And it's also open because I know that in a lot of religious practices, they say, if you don't like your sexuality, you can just choose celibacy. And some people may disagree with that, but it's far less
But that's
harmful.
not that's you know that's not denying you're a homosexual. That's not being less gay. It's
Yeah.
just not acting on it.
Right.
And
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
think that that is really the line that this bill is very
And a
closely
lot of
trying to
people pick
draw.
on the church, but when I talk about that kind of thing, I usually like going to, because there is such a thing as Orthodox Buddhism. And in Orthodox Buddhism, they say that homosexuality is a sin, but they say all physical comforts are sinful, and any kind of sexual intimate contact is sinful, and being gay is just the
A
same
different
thing,
flavor.
different flavor of the same sin that everybody should try to be avoiding. So, I mean,
Yeah.
I like that one because it's like you're building up to something and then you deflate it, like, oh, okay, well. I
Yeah.
guess,
Ain't nobody supposed to be sexual.
yeah,
Yeah.
nobody's. Oh, okay, well
Well,
done.
we're gonna jump to a song. Indigo Girls have
Yes,
a new album
a new
coming out.
album from
This is their
Indigo
record, Shit Kickers. I do apologize for anyone who is insulted by that term. But I think it kind of ties in the context of the song very
Isn't that
well.
kind of a boot?
Yeah. It's about just kicking it around town.
No, I think it's like rubber boots. I think it's a slang term for like Wellingtons that you wear in a farm so you can step in the
Around
cow
the mud.
patties.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah, yeah.
So this is Indigo Girls with Shit Kickers, and we will be back right after this.
Shit kicking, suburban. Right in my family, you know they let me. kids. I keep that in red for the rest of my days. Didn't feel it creeping. That kudzu covered me like it would set me free from the old ways and the old men. Damn that trickery got the best of me. I'm gonna tear it down and start again. From the sound of the steeple, I didn't know him except by his journal in hand. You can find him, you can love him, but girl, you gotta be honest about him. But you'll be fighting them weeds for the rest of your days. I'm a little bit left at the salt of the earth. It's alright, I'll prove my worth. A little bit right, but my family, you know they set me free. Make my way through this world in spite of everything. Shit kicking, suburban, all on my world. Shit kicking, suburban, all on my world.
Jolene, Jolene, Jolene.
Hello and welcome back to Can Creole or Canada's Cree Media. That was Indigo Girls and Shit Kickers, followed by about 20 seconds of Dolly Parton's Jolene.
Uh-huh.
Just another edition of our songs to clean your hands to that we're doing with today. Now, the last of our stories I wanted to talk about is a very quick international story. Now, we have been talking over the years about Bermuda, will they, won't they, on the gay marriage debate.
Oh, my God. Are we back to Bermuda again?
We are back to Bermuda. And the reason why we're back to Bermuda is because, you know, these decisions, it was a Supreme Court decision that said, you know what, you can't just deny homosexuality. You can't just deny LGBT people from getting married because you don't like them. It's not a good enough reason.
Yeah.
So the Bermudan government introduced a brand new law, being like, we're going to do it anyway. And they did. And they passed it. It got challenged. The Supreme Court in Bermuda was like, now hang on, guys. We've told you once. We've told you a million times. This is clearly very homophobic.
Yeah.
So they've actually challenged it to the highest court that Bermuda can challenge something too. And
The Voice?
Yes, they've challenged it to the TV show The Voice. No, what they've done is they've challenged it to the Judicial Committee of the Privy Council of London.
Oh, my next guess was going to be Gordon Ramsay.
No, it's close though. Now, most people are like, what on earth is the Judicial Committee of the Privy Council of London? Well, it's a bit of a hangover from colonialism.
Yeah.
When it was the idea of all of these various colonies and protectorates, if they couldn't agree things amongst themselves, they could appeal it back to essentially the same building as the British Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Because Britain was a colonial power at the time. Now, some countries, such as Bermuda and Jamaica and a few other ones, still have the Judicial Committee of the Privy Council as their highest court. So the reason why this is such a huge story is because if this Privy Council, which all the pundits are putting money on as backing same-sex marriage, if they vote in favor of overturning this law in Bermuda, it'll actually set a precedent for a large number, and it would effectively overrule a significant number of former colonial countries that have anti-marriage laws, including Jamaica. So it's really being seen as quite a pivotal case in a courtroom that no one has ever heard of in their lives. And the impact is going to be really, really quite substantial.
I'm sure the people who work there know all about it.
Well, that's you know, that's fair.
So we brought it up to 100 people in the world know all about it.
Well, this was a, we kind of followed the story from the Gay Star News, and they actually interviewed a guy who we know quite well.
Maurice
Tomlinson. Yes, he's been working on this for a number of times, and really he was talking about the impact it could have on countries like Jamaica, because of course it'll affect their laws. So this is interesting news. When the Bermuda will they won't they?
Yeah,
it's gone all the way to the top. We won't really see that decision until December.
Okay,
but it's something we're going to keep an eye on, because it's going to be a big deal when it comes out, because it's those post-colonial countries that are really the last hangers on. You know, they're some of the most reluctant to adapt and change. And their excuse for a long time has been these colonial era British laws.
Yeah, because London won't let us do it. Now London's like, what? What are you talking about? Do your own thing.
It's our colonial penal code from the 19 whatevers. And now it's the highest court in London is going to be like, you know what? Actually, that penal code no longer stands up to the sniff test. So we're going to be interested. Good news.
Yeah, it is good news.
Now, we are playing a quick clip from one last 20-second wash your hands videos.
Is it the theme song to DuckTales?
No. It is Cheeky Girls, Cheeky Song. So Sebastian didn't like my classics medleys of songs to wash your hands to. So he suggested the Cheeky Girls with the Cheeky Song.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, was the go-to favorite of my young sister, who is now cringing.
It's just, it's from that. Such garbage. It's so bad. I can't help but love it.
Now, speaking of something I can't help but love, when Drake Jensen was on our show, the Ottawa-based country singer, I did not let my opinions be withheld regarding what I thought about Canadian singer Rufus Wainwright.
Oh, yes.
And although we didn't get as many complaints as I was expecting, because I'm not a Rufus Wainwright fan, I find it quite dirgy.
Really or not, yeah.
He actually has a new album coming out, and one of the tracks he's released ahead of the album, called Damsel in Distress, is actually very good. And very sort of on brand for the music I listen to. So I'm like, gosh darn it, Rufus Wainwright, why have you got to prove me wrong? you know, clearly he listened to the show and was like, I will get that guy, which I doubt, but whatever. So this is Cheeky Girls 20 Seconds with the Cheeky Song, followed by Rufus Wainwright's Damsel in Distress, a great track, I begrudgingly admit, off his upcoming album. I've been Luke Smith.
And I have been Sebastian. Thank you very kindly for listening.
Will you? Every